This is Shyama, my daughter, and this is another commuter in the train. हम ट्रेन में जा रहे हैं और ये दृश्य तो हम सबने देखा होगा ट्रेन में. चलो आते हैं, चलते हैं लोकल में.
ए, अंधी है क्या? दिखता नहीं है, धक्का क्यों मार रही है?
क्या सॉरी बोल रही है? किसको अंधा कहा? अंधा कौन है? आपको नहीं दिख रहा है कितनी भीड़ है? इतने आराम से जाना है तो अपने पिताजी को कह दो एरोप्लेन लेके दे दे.
आप मुझे ज्यादा बहस मत कीजिए.
मम्मी जाने दो ना, अभी ऑलरेडी इतनी गर्मी है, सब थके हुए, सब चिड़चिड़े हो गए हैं.
तो सिर्फ इनको गर्मी लगती है क्या? हमको गर्मी नहीं लगती है.
जाने दो ना मम्मा, अभी कुछ पलों की तो बात है, कहाँ जिंदगी बितानी अब इनके साथ.
तू कहती है तो छोड़ देती, उन्हें तो छोड़ती नहीं थी इसको. So this is a very common scene that we see in our locals, and we see it in so many other places where people are driving on the road and one, you know, scooter is brushes past a car and the car person looks as if he can burn that scooterist to ashes with his eyes, and the scooterist gets down and starts yelling, "Ulta chor kotwal ko daante." It happens all the time, right? And some people get very angry, some people remain quiet. I remember I was going to Badrinath many years back, and as I was climbing up, you know, whenever I would ask anyone, we were going to a place called Vasundhara where the Pandavas left this, you know, for the heavenly abode. And as we were climbing, when I was climbing, I would ask people, ki abhi kahan hai, kitna samay aur lagega? Then they would say, are, idhar hi hai. अभी बस आ गया. बट वेन आई वुड गो आई वुड सी इट स्टिल नॉट कम एंड आई वुड फील आई विल नेवर रीच. आई गॉट टायर्ड फिजिकली, मेंटली, आई गॉट फुल्ली स्ट्रेस्ड आउट. आई वॉज जस्ट नॉट एबल टू डू. समहाउ आई ड्रैग्ड माई सेल्फ एंड आई कंप्लीटेड एंड आई सॉ दैट अदर पीपल वर वेरी कंफर्टेबली, वेरी एफर्टलेसली गोइंग अप. एंड आफ्टर सम मंथ्स व्हेन आई मेट अ फ्रेंड ऑफ माइंड, शी टोल्ड मी दैट हर डॉटर वेंट ऑन अ ट्रैक, young girl, and she went to a mountain called Kilimanjaro in South Africa, I think the highest peak, and they went right till the top and they came. So I just asked her casually, you know, I said, how did they go so high? Like, we just went, and it's not that we are not used to walking, I'm used to walking, but how did they go? And I got so tired, I was not able to do it. So she said, nahi, 3 months before going they start with the, what do they start with? Preparation for the training starts for going up. So I asked her, what is the training? So she said that they have to have a special diet, you know, high protein diet, less of fat, less of carbs and more of protein. They have to do pranayam every day so that their lungs become strong, because on higher altitude there is less oxygen. So you can't breathe so well, you know, so your lungs need to be very strong. Plus specific exercises for strengthening the legs and the spine so that you don't, you know, have any problems. And also lot of motivating talks that don't give up, stay till the end. So much preparation goes, then they are able to complete this type of marathon. So that could be one of the reasons why some people can take stress and some people can't. Some are prepared for it, some are not. Also, there could be other reasons. Can anyone think ki kyun kisi ko gussa aata hai, somebody gets angry and somebody doesn't? In the same situation, two people react or respond. What is the meaning of react? To think, to do something without thinking. Impulsively get angry or throw something or yell or whatever. That is called reactive behavior. And response means to think, to look before you leap, to think and then talk, to think and then do. So why is it that some people respond and some people react? Can anyone think and tell me? Anybody here? People who are very stressed. Yeah, because we are very stressed and that's why we speak something, we are preoccupied. Okay, there is something called a flight or fight response. Have any of you heard about this? Yeah? So normally what would happen is, if in the earlier days when people didn't have houses to stay, as it is said, I mean we always knew that people had houses to stay, but where it was not the concrete jungle. Sometimes people would stay in jungles or people would have to brave the forces of nature. So when there would be some calamity, like supposing you are walking through the jungle and a lion comes in front of you, you don't have the time to think and respond, right? You sit, wait, tell the lion, wait, I will just think now what I should do. Whether I should fight you or I should run. You don't have time to think. So if you sit to think, what will happen? You will become the lion's prasad. Right? So what would the body do? It was the body's defense mechanism. That when you are in a dangerous condition, the body would start pumping adrenaline in the body. There would be a pump of those type of things that you need to do the needful. So your heart would start pumping much faster, blood would go to your hands and feet, your pulse rate would increase, your hands would sweat. You are preparing for what? Either for fight or for flight. If it is a predator that you can fight with, you fight. And if you can't fight, then you run. You run away from there. So that is why our body would respond in that way. But in today's day and age, we respond that way even if somebody in the local train stamps on our foot. As if, you know, a rock from the Himalayas has fallen on our head. The response is much more than proportionate to the stressor. Why? Why? One is because of our personality. Everyone has a different type of personality. Second is because the type of thinking that we have. And third is that we have become used to being very comfortable. All the gadgets that we have, why were they invented or why were they created? Anyone? Huh? For our comfort, to reduce our work. If we see our mothers, our grandmothers, they used to do so much work. Grinding stone pe karte the? Have any of you tried ever? Yeah? They used to do it. So they used to be physically fit. And they used to be mentally fit also. Because they knew that to achieve something, you have to put in hard work and it may take time. They did not expect instant results. They were willing to give time and energy to get something in return. So they were healthy. So now we have the mixer. People used to walk. Now we have trains, taxis, and now we have Uber. Right? At the drop of a hat, we can book a car and go wherever we want. If someone wanted to talk to someone, sometimes they would actually travel through villages to go and meet them. Now we have email, we have the phone. So everything has become so easy. So in one sense, it is very good. Technology has improved communication, or has it? That is another Chetna topic. It has, if you see externally, it has improved communication, but many a time it becomes a cause of disrupting communication also. But because of technology, what has happened? We can regulate almost everything. If it is hot, we can make it cold. If it is cold, we can make it hot by using an air conditioner or a heater. So we get used to control by clicking on a switch. We can change the temperature. By pressing a button, we can contact people. It becomes so easy that our power to tolerate discomfort has become very less. As we shall see during the course of the lecture, that why are people stressed out? So today's talk is about from distress to de-stress. How can we reduce the stress that we face in our life? So we start from distress. We see, what does distress do, or what does stress do to us? It makes us very uncomfortable. It causes a lot of pain to us. We become dysfunctional. We are not able to do what we wanted to do. We are very disturbed. So we want to move from distress to de-stress. That is, we want to be happy. So what is stress? So stress is nothing but a psychological imbalance. We are required to do something. Or there has been some change in our life where we are required to change or we are required to adapt or adjust. And when we are not able to do it, we say we are stressed out. So many times we have to adjust. And we say, "Maine, but I can't do this. This is too much for me. This is too stressful for me." So what is stress? Stress is actually a natural thing which the body does to save you from any dangerous situation. But if we convert every situation into a stressful situation, that means we are giving that small problem the position of the big problem. We are giving the small problem a very high position, more importance than it deserves. By focusing on it and by becoming depressed about it or becoming anxious about it, choti si cheez ko hum bahut bada bana dete hain. We say na, making a mountain out of a molehill. Ya baat ka batangad, rai ka pahad. It may be a small problem, but because we don't have tolerance power, because we cannot tolerate even the slightest discomfort, we feel this is such a big problem. Next. Stress, causes of stress. Academic stress, there are difficulties when we are studying, right? Sometimes a student who has done very well in the exam, according to him or her, doesn't get the marks that he or she expects. Sometimes because you have to prepare for the exam, you are under stress. What if I fail? What if I don't get the marks? What if I am not able to major in the subject that I want? What if after the exam I don't get the marks and I don't get entrance into the next postgraduate level or PhD level that I want? Okay, I've done that. What if I don't get the job that I want? So many uncertain factors are there in our life. So we say those cause stress. Physical stress. Sometimes we have to do things which are beyond our capacity. Physically we get very tired. In teenage especially, lot of changes are taking place in our body. And we get very tired. Social stress, lot of needs, lot of demands, lot of expectations from family, from friends, from teachers, from relatives. So many different expectations and we feel. Do you feel? Yes? Who feels? Only two people have social stress. You are lucky. Okay. Drastic changes in life. Sometimes we change our house, sometimes we change our school, college, and the friends change. Everything changes. We get married and we go to a new family. Everything changes. So sometimes because of change in life events, there might be stress. Romantic relationships. There might be so much stress. You want to impress someone and they are not impressed. They leave you, they go to someone else. You are under stress. Or you get married to someone whom you thought was very good and they are not what you expected. So there is stress. It is said that when a boy and girl want to marry each other, when they are in love with each other, the boy thinks that she will never change and she changes. And the girl thinks, shaadi ke baad badal jayega and he doesn't change. But before marriage, she takes it very happily with a smile because the dopamine being secreted in the brain is very high. There is a chemical called dopamine which is secreted in the brain. And because of high levels of dopamine, she is able to smile through it all. After marriage, 6 months ke andar wo dopamine ka secretion kam ho jata hai. And what happened? Then the fight starts. Right? So relationship problems, family problems, financial stress, traumatic events. Yeah, sometimes there are traumatic events. It could be trauma because of natural disaster. Like there are floods, there are famine, earthquake. Sometimes it may be because of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and people undergo so much trauma and because of that there is stress. Poor self-esteem, because you don't have confidence in yourself, you feel stress. Sometimes you are, even though people may tell you, you are so good, But you yourself don't have confidence that I am good enough to face the world. I am good enough for this job. I am good enough for this post. I am good enough. I am very good. But because of our own negativity, we face stress. There may not be any problem outside, but we face stress. Unhealthy competition. We see it all the time. Healthy competition is good for us. But when there is unhealthy competition, then there is a lot of stress. Either in the college or at the workplace, there is tremendous stress. Poor time management. The poor student all year round, like the story of the grasshopper and the ant. Well, I heard. The ant, the entire winter she is working very hard and collecting sugar cubes and collecting so many things and holding it, stocking it in her small little hole in the wall. And the grasshopper is laughing. He's saying, the entire summer she is collecting, I'm sorry. And he's laughing. He says, summer is meant for dancing. What are you doing, you foolish ant? And when winter comes, he has no food to eat. So we want to be the ant or the grasshopper. A student who is enjoying throughout the year, at the end of the year will face stress. Why stress? Because he knows or she knows that now I had it. So that stress can be avoided. So we will briefly touch all these points because we don't have so much time to go into all of this in detail. Because this should have been a 1 or 2 day seminar. But we have to complete in a very short span of time. So now amongst these there are some which are under our control. There are some which are beyond our control. We'll come to that in the future. But the factors which are under our control, which are they? For example, a student, preparation, preparing for the exam. Like I spoke about climbing a mountain, preparing before going on such an excursion so that we don't get stressed out. By changing our thought process, by thinking more positively, by responding rather than reacting, by putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes and not judging people but understanding people. By doing such things, we can reduce our own stress. Next. So what are the signs that somebody is suffering stress? How do we know that we are under stress? So these are the symptoms. There are emotional signs, there are physical changes, behavioral changes and cognitive changes. Somebody is sad all the time, somebody is crying, somebody is not talking, is not feeling much interest in life, not feeling much interest in friendships, is not able to focus on studies, has memory problems. This is a sign that somebody is undergoing a lot of stress. There might be physical changes such as putting on weight or losing weight, eating too much or eating too less, sleeping too much or sleeping too little, becoming very irritable, feeling lethargic or feeling a lack of motivation. These are all signs that somebody is under tremendous stress. Next. So we spoke about preparation. This is a picture of our army cadets. What does the army do? The army follows the army cadets or the army armed forces. They follow this principle. That it is better to sweat in peace than bleed in war. What does this mean? Can anyone explain? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So if you train yourself, if you are willing to undergo rigorous discipline and training, then when you are actually in a situation where there is stress, you will be able to face that situation. You will not react, you will respond. Like recently we read, all of us know about one of the persons from the Air Force. What happened? He was in a very stressful situation. He was in the enemy territory. Yet we see he responded, he did not react. He had a gun in his hand. He shot into the air. He did not shoot at anybody. He did all that was to be done perfectly. Why? Can any of us honestly say that we have been in such a stressful situation? Can we compare the stress that we undergo to what he was facing at that time? Can any one of us say? Maybe some people may have, but most of us generally don't. It's never so bad. Right? Then how? How could he remain so peaceful? Because when we undergo training, then we develop what is called as resilience. Resilience means strength. We shall see these two concepts called resilience and elasticity. Those who are from a science background, those who have learned physics, they know what this means. Resilience and elasticity. Next. So resilience is about being able to overcome the unexpected. Sustainability is about survival. Goal of resilience is to thrive. What does this mean? Sustainability means kaise bhi zinda rahenge. But resilience means even if there is difficulty, I will face that difficulty, I will overcome the difficulty and I will thrive. That means I will progress. That is resilience. So when we are strong, when we are resilient, we can face difficulties. We don't have so much problem. Next. Persistence and resilience come from having been given the chance to work through difficult problems. As we saw that those who are trained, who are constantly training, they don't have so much problem during war because they are prepared. So this type of persistence and resilience comes when we have gone through difficulties in our life and faced small difficulties. With small difficulties, we become strong. For example, if there is a tree, you know, somebody asks a question, supposing there is a tree and you are asked to water the tree. I tell you, there is one tree here and one tree here. I tell you that you go and water the root of the tree. So you go and pour the water on the root. And I tell you that the tree is there, you put the water here. What will you say? That we should water the root. Why are we putting it far away? Which tree will be stronger? Yeah, general. Huh? Yeah. So which one will be widely spread? Yeah, that is what we feel. When we put water on the root, that tree will be strong. But it is the other way around. When we put water far away, that tree's roots grow to go to get water. They will go deeper into the soil, they will go farther into the soil. And in doing that, they will also get entangled with other roots. So there will be a network of roots down. And those trees will be very strong. They will not fall even when a storm comes. So when we have small difficulties in our life, if we face them with the right attitude and we prepare ourselves for facing difficulties. How we will prepare that, we will talk. If we do that, then what happens? We become strong. Like a weight lifter, he begins by lifting how much? 100 grams, 500 grams, 1 kg, 2 kgs, 3 kgs. Gradually he increases his capacity to lift weights. Similarly, when we get difficulties in our life, instead of complaining, instead of cribbing, if we figure out ways and means of tackling those problems and deal with them with the right attitude, right consciousness, then what will happen? Our capacity, our resilience will increase. Then when difficulties come in our life, we can face them without breaking. Next. So strong people know how to organize their suffering so as to bear only the necessary pain. So it is not that if you are strong, you will not have pain when difficulty comes. There will be difficulty. But because you have trained your mind and body, you will know how to face the difficulty by bearing minimum pain, by thinking the right way, by maybe falling the right way, we will understand how to go about it. So, next. Can any of you guess what this is? This is shattered glass. Another thing, it's called something by some name. See the entire picture. What is it? It is tempered glass or toughened glass. Anyone knows what is tempered glass? When glass goes through a certain process, it is subjected to great levels of compression. When it is compressed a lot, then what happens? A lot of stress is put on it. If you see the physics textbook, they say it is subjected to stress compression. And when that type of compression is put on it, it becomes toughened glass. It becomes tough. And then, even when there is an accident, it cracks, but it takes the minimum pain. That glass is not scattered everywhere. It is less harmful than a normal glass, especially for the driver or those who are in the other passengers who are in the car. So why? Because it underwent that stress and that compression. When? During the time of accident? No, at normal times. So when we train at normal times, when we sweat during peace, then we don't bleed during war, or even if we do bleed, it will be less than what it would have been if we were not trained. Next. So I spoke about two principles. One is resilience and second is elasticity. We all know what is elastic. We know, we have seen rubber bands. When you stretch it, it expands. When you leave it, it resumes its original size. So what is elasticity? Property of a material that allows it to resume its original size and shape after having been compressed or stretched by an external force. So that these are the two properties or two qualities that we need to have if we have to face stress or if we don't want to buckle under stress. So what is elasticity? Elasticity is nothing but flexibility. If we stretch a rubber band too much, then what happens? It breaks. Why? There's a certain point to which it can stretch. Then it breaks. So when we can't stretch, then what happens? Then we break. So we know what are our limits to which we can stretch and beyond which we will break. Next. So when we are doing this elasticity principle, I want to show you one video. That how when you are stretched or when you are compressed and you come back to your original position, what does that mean for us? It means in spite of different trials, tribulations and difficulties, even if we fall, we spring back again.
मम्मी आगे में जाती है हाँ
Hari Bol. Sound system. Okay, put it on. Just put it on. I'll tell what's happening. Can any of you see? Can you all see what is there on this projector or should we switch off the lights? Can someone switch off the light behind? लाइट बंद कर देंगे पीछे माता जी इट्स ओके, वी कांट डू. हरी बोल. ओके, वी विल शो यू दिस वीडियो लेटर. इट्स ओके, कीप इट ऑन. ओके, दैट मच इज ओके. इट्स नॉट कमिंग ऑन. ओके, एनीवे, वी विल गो टू द नेक्स्ट वन. सो इट्स टीचिंग अस हाउ टू बी फ्लेक्सिबल, राइट? सो वी लर्न द लेसन ऑफ इलास्टिसिटी एंड फ्लेक्सिबिलिटी एंड रेजिलियंस फ्रॉम द बैम्बू प्लांट. Now, any of you have heard about the bamboo plant? When you plant a bamboo seed for very, very, very long time, for months together, sometimes for years together, it does not sprout. Nothing comes out. Sometimes you may start losing faith that is the seed there still or did I plant it somewhere else? You know, because nothing is coming out. And then one fine day, suddenly it comes out and then it grows at full speed. It grows very fast and it becomes huge. It can grow up to 9 feet tall. We use bamboo for scaffolding, for construction purpose and for so many other reasons, so many other things. So this bamboo teaches us the lesson of resilience and elasticity. So first, sway, bend but don't break. A bamboo tree, there may be a storm, it will sway, but it doesn't break. It remains as it is. It may bend even till the ground. Sometimes in western countries, if there is snow, because of the snow falling on the bamboo, it keeps bending, bending, bending. After some time, the snow becomes so much, the snow falls off. How much snow can hold on a bamboo? It falls, again it goes back to its position. Again it falls, again it bends. Again it goes back. If there is a storm, it takes energy from the storm, but it doesn't break. So it sways, it bends, but it doesn't break. So this teaches us a lesson that if we are flexible, then we don't encounter that much stress. We will see examples of this as we go ahead. That we have to be intelligent. What to, when to bend and when not to be bend, when not to bend. When to be big and when to be small. So the bamboo teaches us this lesson. Don't judge by externals. What do you mean don't judge by externals? If you see this plant, you feel, oh, it's so weak. It's so thin and tall. But it is very, very strong. Why? Because it has gone deep inside. Third, be always ready. The bamboo is always ready. Why? It is willing to bend. It is willing to spring back. It's always ready for anything. Unleash your power to spring back. All the power that was in bending, that same power helps the bamboo to come back. So even though we may face stress, we may face difficulties in our life, but we can come back. If we think that I can, I can. If I think I can't, then I can't. So the choice is ours, what we think. I can or I can't. Find wisdom in emptiness. Now the bamboo is hollow from within. It's empty from within. What is the meaning of empty from within? It doesn't mean that we have nothing in our brain. It means that we are not filled with preconceived notions. Hari bol Prabhuji.
We wanted to play a video but there was no sound.
So, we are not filled with preconceived notions and we are willing to take knowledge and training and lessons from others, from nature and from events. We are willing to learn all the time. We are willing to receive. Right? Let's see the video, then we continue.
Achun, mummy aage hi mil jati hai, huh? अच्छा मम्मी आगे नहीं जाती है. हाँ,
मम्मी
बाय दीदी।
पापा कब वापस आएंगे?
होमवर्क किया तुमने?
आज होमवर्क नहीं था, ड्रेस कह रहा था कि तेरे पापा को कैंसर है। कैंसर क्या होता है मम्मी?
कैंसर तेरे उस डायनो की तरह सर्जरी करो, फिर रेडिएशन करो, फिर कीमो करो, फिर कीमो, फिर रेडिएशन, फिर कीमो, फिर रेडिएशन, फिर कीमो, फिर से आता है। जितना भी मारो, जितना भी लड़ो, हारता ही नहीं, हारता ही नहीं, हारता, हारता ही नहीं, हारता ही नहीं। होमवर्क करते हैं, अर्जुन क्या कर रहे हो?
पापा भी तो डायल हो सकते हैं ना।
हो सकते हैं, हो सकते हैं, हो सकते हैं, हो सकते हैं, हो सकते हैं। हारते नहीं है।
I don't know, they, all of you understood what it is. There is this bobo doll which can be hit and it comes back. So the mother is thinking that cancer is a disease. How much ever you hit it, it keeps coming back. The son is thinking, how much ever my father is dropped, he will keep coming back. So such two different point of view. The doll is the same, the disease is the same. For her it's a husband, for him it's a father. But it's a totally different way of thinking. And the moment she thinks like that, you can immediately see her stress level goes down. So sometimes what we think to a large extent affects whether we get stressed or we get de-stressed. So we continue with the bamboo example, that commit to continuous growth. Next video. Commit to continuous growth. We are willing to grow. The bamboo also grows. What does it mean we are willing to grow? We are willing to learn from anywhere and anybody. That we don't have an ego. That mujhe mat sikha, mujhe sab aata hai. Hey, mujhe mat sikha. Sab kuch aata hai mujhe. We are willing to learn. We are willing to improve from anybody and anyone if it helps us to progress in our life. And the last one is become an instrument in the hands of the master. I heard this from my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And I was very much touched and impressed by this example. He told us that what is the value of a thin bamboo? It's very cheap. It's very easily available in the market. It has hardly any value. But when that bamboo is polished, when you make holes in it, and it comes into the hands of a master, a person who plays the flute, then he can play beautiful music on it, on that flute. Now, can the bamboo create music on its own? No. But when it is in the hands of a master musician, then it becomes an instrument for creating beautiful music. So sometimes, maybe on our own, we may not be able to achieve certain things in our life. But when we have a mentor, when we have somebody who is guiding us, then maybe we will be able to do much more than we ever thought. So we see that Lord Krishna is playing the flute. So he plays such beautiful tunes on that flute. It is said that when Lord Krishna would play the flute, he had lakhs of cows. And each one of the cow would hear their name being called when he would play that flute. And all of them would come running. So just a simple bamboo which has no value. But when a master plays on it, it has great value. So we can add to the value of our life when we learn or we are willing to become instruments in the hands of great people. Could be our teachers, could be our parents, could be our spiritual masters, could be our mentors, anybody. Next. So dealing with stress. Now there are lot of coping mechanisms or coping techniques which are given for improving stress. On a physical level, sleep, physical activity, diet, all these are very important for becoming strong or for overcoming stress. To the extent we take care of our body will be able to face difficulty. If our body is strong, our immunity is high. If our body is weak, our immunity becomes low. And when our immunity is low, we get diseased. The malaria, the Anopheles mosquito, bites so many people, everyone doesn't get malaria. Somebody gets malaria, that means their immunity was low. Otherwise in Bombay, a city like Bombay where mosquitoes are thriving, they don't have any stress. They get enough food. So everybody would have got malaria, but not everyone does get it. Right? So when we increase our immunity, we don't become sick. Or even if we do, we recover much faster. When we increase our emotional immunity, we don't get disturbed or stressed out so fast. And even if we do, we recover. We bounce back like the bamboo or like a spring. We bounce back. We are able to get back. We don't become dysfunctional. Healthy diet. There are some foods which give us strength. There are some foods which make us weak. That can be a lecture by itself. I won't go into that about healthy food and unhealthy food. But we know that there are certain foods which give us more energy. So we try to focus on that. Talk and write about it. When we are under stress, when we are having a difficulty, rather than just keeping it in our mind, pondering on it, chewing on it, ruminating on it, and becoming more and more disturbed, it helps to share with people who care. Share with those who care. Your parents, your friends, somebody, your teacher, it could be anybody whom you are confident, will keep what you are talking about confidential and will actually empathize with you and guide you correctly. So talking about it to somebody helps. Or writing about it. Writing is very beneficial because when we write, when we are disturbed, our thoughts are all disorganized, chaotic. But when we start writing, that disorganized mess gets into some order. Plus, the information or whatever we are writing remains with us. We need not share. If we want, we can. Otherwise, it remains with us. So, it helps us to release a lot of stress or distress that is there within our mind. Similarly, art, music, dance is known to release stress. Exercise. When we exercise, our body releases what are called as endorphins, which are reducing our pain or at least our sensation of pain. So that also increases our happiness. So that is why regular exercise is good for the body and the mind. Right? Then next is play with toddlers. Play with babies because they are so innocent. And they are so full of positive energy that when you play with small kids, your own or somebody else's, your own you might be stressed out because you have to do a lot of other things along with taking care of them. But when you play with children, they are just so sweet, so innocent, and so willing to reciprocate with you that it sort of reduces a lot of stress. And the last is focus on positive. There will be lot of difficulties. So how do we become positive in that situation? By thinking positively. How? We will come to it. When anything happens, there might be some bad, but there will always be little good. And we can learn from it. For example, someone behaves very badly with us. We can get very disturbed, or we can learn how we should not behave. Can we? That when someone behaves like this with me, I got so disturbed, I felt so sad. You know, this person exploited me, or this person neglected me, this person rejected me, this person spoke rudely to me, or so many other things could happen. So I can learn that when someone does this with me, I feel so bad. I should not do this with others. Right? We will come to this later on, but I'll tell you right now that people in glass houses should not throw stones. Just as when someone else behaves badly with us, we don't like it. तो हम अगर कांच के घर में हैं और हम किसी पे पत्थर फेंकते हैं, what is the danger? When we throw, somebody throws, we have a house made of glass, it will break. So it's both ways. When someone behaves badly, we can learn how we should not behave, and also we should not behave badly so that we don't provoke someone else to behave badly. Because if they throw stones at us, we will get hurt, right? So we are positive in our thinking and in our behavior. We try to see the good in others, we try to see the good in ourselves and the good in the events that happen. From every situation, you can see a glass half full or half empty, right? And the most important point is, we may do so many things to become free from stress, but the most important is we have to face it. We don't run away from it. We face it, we do what is needed for that. Why? Why do we face it and work to get over it? Why? We already discussed this. Why? We become stronger. Every time we deal with a difficult situation, we find, we think, we take help, support maybe from others or whatever to overcome it, we become stronger. If we run away from it, we become weak. We become diffident, we lose confidence in ourselves that I can tackle situations, I can deal with difficult situations, I can deal with people. When we deal, we become more confident. May not be perfectly, but at least we tried. Right? Next. Yeah. We spoke about this already. Physical strength or resilience through diet, sleep and exercise. Next. Okay. Mental and emotional through right beliefs, right thoughts, right feelings, emotions and right behavior. We just spoke that when we have negative feelings, it reduces our energy. But when we think positive, it increases our energy. It gives us confidence to face the situation. So now we have a very small skit by Shama and Rishika. Hare Krishna.
Disturbed.
Oh Lord Garuda, just look at these eagles.
They are after me. They want to kill me. Please save me, my lord.
Oh, my friend, these eagles are not after your life. They are after the piece of meat that you are carrying. Just throw it and let's see what happens.
The crow followed the instruction of Garuda and threw away the piece of meat. The eagles immediately rushed to it and started feasting on it.
The pain is only till you hold on to it. Just drop it.
Thank you so much, my lord. Now that I have thrown this piece, I can not only fly peacefully, but I can fly even more high. Thank you so much.
Hari bol. So we see that when we have negativity, when we retain negativity, what happens? It reduces our energy. So when we come across negativity in any form, whether it's our own thoughts or when we see a lot of negative things on the screen, movies, serials, music, a lot of negativity, or we are with people who are always negative. So when we are in contact with negativity, that reduces our energy. It's proved that when we see a lot of violence or negativity in movies or serials, or sometimes the songs that we hear have a lot of negative lyrics, unknowingly, but our brain doesn't differentiate. As I said earlier, our brain will react the same way to stress. Whether it is a lion in front of you, whether you are getting angry because of somebody stamping your foot, whether it is too many assignments being given to you by a teacher, or whether it is violence shown on TV. All the negative, harmful chemicals are being released. So it harms our body and mind. So we have to be very careful to keep away from negativity. So we need the right thoughts, beliefs, feelings, emotions and behavior, because our thoughts lead to our feelings and our feelings lead to our behavior. So our mind gives rise to different thoughts. How do we control our mind? Our mind is controlled by our intelligence. We will see how. If the mind is controlled by the intelligence, just as a driver who is driving a chariot holds the reins in his hand, the senses are like those horses, as the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita. The reins are the mind and the driver is the intelligence. So when the mind is controlled by intelligence, the chariot is going on the right path. But when the intelligence gets controlled by the mind, that means the horses have gone out of control. The reins are slipping from the hands of the driver. One horse is going here, one horse is going somewhere else. What will happen to that chariot? There will be destruction. So how can the intelligence become strong so as to control the mind? So the Bhagavad Gita, in this scene we see that Arjuna, we all know what the Bhagavad Gita is. Who spoke it? The Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna spoke it to Arjuna. In fact, this was the first stress management seminar. Yeah, because Arjuna was in stress. He was not understanding what to do. So we see, Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava. He says, I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me what is best for me. Now I am your disciple, a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Before this, he tells all his symptoms, that I am sweating, the Gandiva is slipping from my hands. I am not understanding, my mind is reeling. And then Krishna gives him a lot of instructions. Please read the Bhagavad Gita to hear these instructions. If we read the Bhagavad Gita, then we don't face stress. That doesn't mean difficulties don't come in our life. But we develop the right attitude, we get the right knowledge, we have the right strength to face those difficulties with a composed mind to respond rather than react next. Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishaya Pumsan Sangaste Shupajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodho Vijayate. And it goes on, the shloka goes on. What does this mean? We see something, object of our senses, we see something and then we want it. We have a demand. that I want this, or I want this person, or I want this person to behave in a particular way. That is our demand. She should behave like this, he should do this for me, they should get this for me, I must get good marks, I must get a husband who has 4 cars, who stays on a pederos, has 8 servants, a palatial mansion, and no relatives whom I have to deal with. Nowadays girls demand these things. It's really sad and shocking. But people have such demands. And such demands, what do? They only cause frustration. Why? Can you achieve all this? No. Even if you achieve, you won't be happy. Because somebody who doesn't have satisfaction within will never be satisfied with whatever they get. It's said that there's enough in this world to satisfy a man's need, but there isn't enough for a man's greed. For every man's need, but not even enough for one man's greed. So the Lord is explaining that when there is a demand, when there is anger, when there are very high expectations, then there will be frustration. You will lose your intelligence. You will lose your intelligence. Next. Anekant. When I say, only I am correct, that means we are being rigid. First was, I am demanding. Now I am being rigid. I am saying only I am correct. But this is Anekant. What is Anekant? We have all heard this story. 6 blind men and the elephant. Everyone thought something different about the elephant. One thought, touch the ear, it's a fan. One thought, it's a wall. One thought, it's a snake. Different things. Who was right and who was wrong? Nobody was wrong. And nobody was fully right. Because they were not seeing the full picture. So many times, we may have differences of opinion with our friends, with our relatives, with our parents, and we may become stressed out. Why are they not understanding me, my point of view? Are you trying to understand their point of view? If you are right, does it mean they have to be wrong? Is it not possible that both of you can be right from your point of view? From their perspective, they are right. From your perspective, you are right. So both have to compromise and come to a platform where you understand each other and become flexible so that it becomes a win-win situation. Right? But most of the time we think that black or white, either my way or highway. If I am right, that means they are wrong. It has to be my way. But Anekant means there can be more than one opinion and both can be right. There can be more than 2 opinions and all can be right. So when we have that flexibility, then what happens? We don't get frustrated. We don't get stressed out. Next. Karmanye Vadikaraste, most important shloka in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, there are many more important, in this chapter this is the most important, that you have a right to do your duty, but you don't have a right to the fruit. What does that mean? That you continue doing your duty, but you don't expect that I must get this fruit. You will get a fruit, but you may not get the fruit that you wanted. Like in fairy tales, there's always a happy ending. So there may be a happy ending in your life, but it may not be the happy ending that you expected. How does it become a happy ending? When with whatever ending you get, you become happy, then it becomes a happy ending. So who decides whether it's a happy ending or sad ending? We decide. If we are flexible, if we are accepting what comes in our life, if we are grateful and trying to adjust in that situation. Because anyway, if we demand, we still may not get what we want, when we want, how we want, as much as we want, the way we want. Can we? No. So it's better to be flexible and adjust. So the Lord says that whatever comes, continue doing your duty. Don't give up your duty. I am very tempted to speak a little bit about Hanumanji. Because it's Ram Navami tomorrow and Friday is Hanuman Jayanti. We see Lord Hanuman. When he was doing his duty of flying over the ocean, there were a lot of obstacles. I can't go over all because we don't have so much time, but there was one obstacle called Surasa. she was a huge, it's like a demoness who came up. And she opened her mouth and she says, I have a boon from Brahma that whatever I see becomes my food. So now I am going to eat you, you have to enter my mouth. So Hanumanji says, I bow down to Lord Brahma and I will do whatever you require. So she opens her mouth, Hanuman becomes bigger. She opens her mouth more, he becomes even bigger. She goes on opening her mouth, he becomes bigger, 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 bigger. And then suddenly when her mouth is too big, too open, suddenly he becomes so tiny, goes in and comes out. And he says, see, I fulfilled your condition. So he cooperates with her. He doesn't fight with her. But she is very impressed. She says, yes, you fulfilled my condition, you are humble and you are intelligent. So sometimes being flexible, sometimes becoming small may help us to achieve our goal. Rather than becoming stubborn, arrogant, proud, if we become humble, we might be able to achieve our goal. Even when Hanumanji went to Lanka and Indraji tied him with the sarpa pash and tied him and he paraded him on the streets of Lanka. Let everyone understand what happens to someone who opposes Ravan. Like it shows, they show in Hindi movies. No? They hang somebody on the road to show that nobody should oppose the villain in future. So they parade him, but Hanuman is not feeling I am humiliated. He is too busy thinking that I will see the roads of Lanka very carefully so that when we attack, we know exactly where to go. That means even in difficulty, he is being positive. How to get something good from even a bad situation? That is why when we read Ramayana, when we read from the scriptures, we get to learn how to deal. In any scripture, you will not see that it is always very happy. The greatest hero, Arjuna or Hanuman or the Lord, Ram or Krishna, all had to face difficulties. Nobody had it very, very comfortable. Yet, they overcame the obstacles, they went ahead and they achieved their goal. Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, very important. It talks about how we tolerate. Just as we tolerate summer and winter without being disturbed, we have to learn to tolerate happiness and distress without being disturbed. On Gudi Padwa day, my mother, she is no more, she used to always give me neem leaf to eat or neem ras. The idea is that neem gives you the strength, because when summer comes, neem doesn't allow the skin diseases to happen. Also, philosophically, you are eating a lot of sweets, so you should eat something bitter. That means you don't only expect happiness, there will be a little distress. We should be open to that. We cannot expect that in my life, I should always be very comfortable, only comfortable and happy at all times. Have we ever seen anyone who has led that type of life? Yet we expect it for ourselves. And if we don't, if we are willing to accept that yes, with happiness, there will be distress. With winter, there will be summer. With success, there will be failure. Then what happens? With that type of mindset, even when difficulty comes, we can cross that hurdle and go ahead to achieve our goal. Sukha dukha same kritva labha labha jaya jayo. So whether happiness, distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, fight to Arjuna. Don't give up. Do your duty. Don't run away from your duty. People think that Bhagavad Gita is impractical. But Bhagavad Gita is most practical. Because the person who was stressed out and not willing to fight, what did he do? He won the war after that. So Bhagavad Gita is a manual which can guide us in any situation. So we take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita. Next. Next. No. So we went over this demand and low frustration threshold, that is very low tolerance. Awfulizing and generalizing means even if there is a small difficulty, we awfulize it, we blow it out of proportion. We discuss this. Baat ka batangan padana. And generalizing means becoming negative. Mere saath hamesha aisa hi hota hai. I always fail. I never get what I want. Is it true? That We never get what we want. You wanted to come for this program. You reached here. You got what you wanted. Right? There's so many things we get. But one small thing we don't get and we feel, I never get what I want. We generalize. And this type of thinking, demand, I must get what I want. They must do what I want. I must achieve perfection. This thought. Second, I can't tolerate this. We can if we become strong, mentally, emotionally and physically. Third was what? Awfulizing. Small thing we make into a big thing. And third, we generalize. So we have to get over this. We have to decide, do I want to be a maximizer? That is, somebody who always wants, or I am content with being a satisfizer. There is no such word in the dictionary. What does satisfizer mean? One who is satisfied with needs being fulfilled. Because needs can be fulfilled. Wants can never be fulfilled. They are unlimited. Next. About the negativity that we spoke. I spoke about this earlier. An entire sea of water can't sink a ship unless that water gets inside the ship. Even if you are in the ocean is so big, a ship is so small, it doesn't sink until you allow the water to come in. How does the water come in? If there is a small hole. And what is that hole? Our negativity. When we have negativity, when we have wrong beliefs about ourselves, about others and the world, then we can sink. Otherwise, how much ever, if we make ourselves strong by thinking right, by hearing positive things, by doing the things that are needed to become strong, then we can face all problems. Next. This we discussed. People in glass houses should not throw stones. Next. Yeah. So we spoke about how we do things to become mentally and physically strong. Now why do we become sad or happy? Because our soul is always happy. The soul is said to be Sat Chit Ananda. What is the soul? The soul is that part of our body that is never vanquished. It never dies. It is always happy. So the body dies, the soul doesn't die. So we are the soul. We are the soul. But what are we doing? We are polishing the body. Like this woman here, she is taking care of the golden cage and polishing it. And then she wonders, why did the parrot die? She did not give the parrot enough food. So we may do so many things, yet sometimes we feel we are not satisfied. We are not happy. In spite of getting everything also, we are not happy. We are still stressed out. Why? Because we are not feeding the soul within. We are only doing that which is necessary for the body. We are not even doing what is necessary for the mind and intelligence. So the mind and intelligence has to be taken care of. The body has to be taken care of. Then what about the soul? How can we be de-stressed if the soul is not happy? So what do we do for the soul? For the soul, we do spiritual activities. Like when we come to the temple, we hear about the Lord, we hear about different pastimes from the scriptures, we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What does the mantra mean? Manas Trayate Iti Mantra. That which can be used to control the mind, to strengthen the mind, that is mantra. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, when we sing the kirtan of the Lord, when we eat food, sanctified food that has been offered to the Lord, prasad, then what happens? Our mind, our body and our intelligence becomes strong. It becomes pure. Tushti pushti shodha apai. We become nourished internally and externally. It gives us the strength to think correct. We said we should choose positive over negative. But why we are not able to do it? Because we don't have the inner strength to do it. Where does that inner strength come from? From spiritual practices. Practices which help us to internalize. Otherwise, always we are doing external activity. But when we internalize, when we do meditation, when we do yoga, when we do deep breathing, pranayam, what happens? It gives us a time to be quiet with ourselves, to introspect, to go within ourselves, to understand what is right, what is wrong. And we learn how to pause. That girl who was sitting over here, he said that why do some people react more? She said because, why? She said that we are too worked up, we are too busy. We don't have the time to think and respond. But we cannot think at a time when there is stress. Can you learn to swim when you fall from the aeroplane into the ocean? Is that the time to learn swimming? No. But if you have learned swimming earlier, if you have practiced it regularly and increased your technique, your talent and your physical endurance and stamina, you have built your stamina, then you can swim. Of course, swimming across the ocean is not easy for anyone. I don't advise anyone to try it. But if we have done it regularly, then only we can do it when there is difficulty. So if we practice regularly meditation, mantra meditation, pranayam, physical exercise, hearing spiritual discourses, hearing positive messages, then that becomes our resource, that becomes like our bank account. You can't buy a gold necklace and tell the jeweler, wait, abhi main kama ke lati hu. Right? If you have earned, you have saved, then you can go and purchase it. You have to have the resource before you can withdraw it. So we have to build that resource over a period of time. We gradually, slowly, we increase our physical, mental, emotional and spiritual strength. So that when adversity comes into our life, we are able to face it with confidence. Even if we fall, we may fall. We fall, we fail forward. Even if we fail forward means as we are falling also we are moving ahead. And when we fall, we are willing to spring back. Like that bamboo who is so resilient. So we are very, very fortunate that we who are in ISKCON have been given such a beautiful process by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of ISKCON. He has given us a very, very wonderful process wherein we have wonderful philosophy, we have wonderful kirtan, we have the Hare Krishna mantra and so many wonderful bhajans we hear, we have nice prasad and best of all, we have the privilege to associate with very positive and strong people. People who are sitting around you, the devotees who are sitting around you are the ones who possibly have gone through so many difficulties and risen above them. When we associate with such people, then what happens? We become strong. When an iron rod is put into fire, it becomes red like fire. You are who you associate with. So when we are in wonderful sangha, when we are hearing wonderful philosophy, when we are eating prasad that is giving us physical, mental and spiritual strength, then what happens? Then we are able to deal much better with the stressful situations that come into our life. So rather than becoming stressed, when we come to ISKCON, after coming we get opposite of stressed. Think in your mind, don't go back. Think in your mind, if you read the word stressed backwards, what does it become? I didn't touch this because we don't have time. But our philosophy tells us that as you sow, so shall you reap. It describes the laws of karma. So when there are difficulties in our life, we don't blame others. Maine karela ka beej boya tha, abhi mujhe expectation hai, mujhe aam milega. Kaise hoga? So we don't blame the mali, we don't blame the sun, we don't blame the person who is watering the tree. We know that if I have done something wrong, that reaction will come at some point, at some place, from somebody whom I least expected. But it is because of something I have done. That's again a topic by itself. Next. Yeah. This is what I was talking about. When we read the word stressed backwards, what does it become? Desserts. Sweet meat. Something very sweet. Because when we are doing it in the association of devotees, everything becomes sweet. We get nourished by it and we become happy. So thank you so much for coming today. We have gone a little over because we started late. Thank you for patiently sitting and hearing and helping me to speak about what I need to hear the most. So whenever we speak to somebody, it doesn't mean we have achieved it. It means we need to hear it a lot, and that is why I wanted to share this topic with all of you. Very grateful. Please, please apply these principles in your life so that you can help yourself and help others too. Hare Krishna. There's no time. We had another video, but we are not playing it because there's no time. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. I'll tell you something about Mataji. Her name is Radharani Mataji, and she is MA in psychology. Okay, and she has three girls. One is sitting over here. Her name is Rasika, and she is expert in talking about relationships and stuff. She is a counselor as well, and she's a regular speaker. Like, she comes to our temple and she has given many Chetna lectures. So we really thank you a lot, Mataji, for coming, removing time and coming on a Saturday evening. I also thank you all to come here. I request the girls who have come for the first time for Chetna to please stand up at their places. All the girls who have come for the first time. Wow. Okay, thank you for coming on a Saturday evening and listening to Mataji. We would like to welcome you all by our traditional method, by counting three times Hari Bol. So, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you so much. You all can collect your gifts from there behind. Mataji is sitting. You all can collect your gifts from there. You all can sit down. Thank you. The next Chetna is, this is April. There is no Chetna in May. The next Chetna is in June. That is on 8th June. And the topic is My Cherished Goals. So you all are requested to please, please come in June as well. And the lecture is by Anand Gopi Mataji. So even she is a very great speaker. So you all are please requested to come on June, 8th June. Please mark it. And we'll have 10 minutes kirtan over here, dancing kirtan. And then we'll go down for prasadam. So please participate in the kirtan and then go for prasadam. Thank you, Hare
Krishna. And please, tomorrow is Ram Navami.